The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com. Call Midas today to protect your future at 1-800-686-2237.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're joined once again by Benjamin Radford, second appearance on the Paracast. It will not be his last. He's a lot of fun, even if you don't agree with him. He's very easygoing, has a sense of humor, and he's not an ideologue that I could see. The book is called Mysterious New Mexico, and he blows the whistle on a few of these cases, and it's very interesting. Just like we've done with Crystal Skulls, which is why you'll notice that we all have Crystal Skull people on the Paracast. I think a few years ago we had Lloyd Pye, who had his own little skull there, the star child.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, we had Joshua Shapiro, and we kind of carved him a new one.
Yeah, we don't do that anymore because they won't come on the show.
Yeah. I'm really interested in, you know, I wasn't able to get all the way through the book because I do know quite a bit about the chapel at Chimayo. I figured I'd save that one for last. But let's talk about that. That is a very, very intriguing, interesting place. And it's pretty impressive when you walk in there and you see all the crutches and canes and everything on the walls in the building there. Why don't you give our listeners a quick thumbnail sketch about the legend of the miraculous mud of Chimayo?
This is one of probably the most famous healing site in New Mexico, maybe in the Southwest, depending on how you count it. But yeah, it's a Chapel of Chimayo. It's a small town in northern New Mexico, not far from Santa Fe. Every year they have, on Good Friday, they have pilgrims go there, and it's a very involved process. There are people who, you know, they whip themselves, the penitentes, on their way to the pilgrimage there on Good Friday, and they reenact, of course, the Passion, the Crucifixion. And tens of thousands of pilgrims visit the shrine of Our Lord of Esquipulas at El Santuario de Chimayo. It's a beautiful little place. I've been there several times, most recently, of course, for my investigation into this book. And one of the stories behind it is that it has healing dirt. And there's a particular place. There's many legends and myths, supernatural myths surrounding it. For example, there's a whole story about the 6 foot tall cross that when it was originally found on that site, actually, and it was sometime around 1810. And the story goes that these people were in the area and they uncovered this cross. And they moved it to another area, a church not far away. And the next day, it appeared back where it was found. And they said, "Well, this is bizarre." And they moved it again, and once again, overnight, it reappeared. And they finally just said, "Okay, well, clearly this is meant to be here." And so they built the church at that place because, you know, God directed them to do that. So there's a handful of sort of interesting New Mexico flavor legends about Chimayo, but probably the most famous one is regarding its miracle dirt. And there's a side room. It's not much bigger than, you know, medium sized closet, maybe a little bigger, and it's called a pocito. It's a small hole in the ground, and there's sand in it. And the story goes that sand, it was mostly sand, some dirt. And the claim is that many people have been healed of various ailments, cancers, other things like that, through the miracle dirt. And so I'd heard about this for of course, many years. It's you know, many traditions surrounding it. And I'd never actually done any research at Chimayo per se until I got a call from I did an appearance on a short-lived TV show on the Oprah network called Miracle Detectives. It was on for I think a season or two, and I was on one of the episodes. And a guy here in Albuquerque, Armando Cordova, saw me on that TV show, and I was investigating a weeping icon of Jesus in a shrine outside of Cleveland. And I was on there and as one of the experts investigators, and he called me up. He said, "You know, I saw you on this Miracle Detectives TV show. I was healed at Chimayo. Would you, you know, can you put me in touch with the TV producers?" And I said, well, I actually can't, partly because the show had actually ended at that point. There was no really, nobody to put him in touch with. But I said, but, you know, I'm fairly local, and I'd like to hear your story, investigate your story. And so that's one of the main sections in my article on Chimayo.
Do we have any sort of numbers in terms of all those the cripples that are supposedly now walking, all those crutches and walkers and stuff?
Yeah, I have one of the last photos in the chapter is there's a room as you exit Chimayo. There's a room where there's just lined with crutches on the walls, and of course the implication is that people walked in limping, presumably, and were healed at the site, presumably through the miracle dirt of Chimayo, and you know left their crutches there because they didn't need them anymore. There's no hard numbers on it. You don't need to sign in or anything. there's no ID checks at either end of the chapel. There's really no way to know exactly how many people have been claimed to have been healed. It's certainly hundreds, if not thousands, over the years. Some stories are more dramatic than others. There was actually a Miracle Detectives TV show about a woman named Desiree Martinez. And she's included in the chapter there, talking about, I think she's actually from Colorado, if I'm not mistaken. In 2011, they did a show on that, and she visited Chimayo, and she had been diagnosed with cancer at the age of 15, and she believed that the miracle dirt at Chimayo had healed her. So she was one of the cases. I didn't personally investigate her. I sort of give the results of the Miracle Detectives investigation, and then I go on to the case that I personally investigated of Armando de Cordoba, who claimed he came to me and he said, look, you know, I was healed by this. You know, can you investigate my miracle? And I said, sure, you know, I'll see what I can do. And in a nutshell, basically, he claimed that it's important to recognize this had happened 50 years earlier. So this was not something new. So it was a difficult case to investigate because, you know, this didn't happen last month or last year. This was long before I was born. And you know, the records from the time were very difficult to find. And in fact, it ended up being impossible to find. But he believed that he had, his claim was that he'd been badly burned, in a fire. And just after he'd gotten out of the military, 52 years ago, and that he'd gone to Chimayo and he'd put dirt on his wounds, on his bandaged wounds, and they healed miraculously. And so that was a story that I tried to investigate.
Yeah, it's been there. That particular chapel has been there for hundreds of years.
Yes.
Or a chapel has been on that spot, I should say. And you did mention at the top of your explanation about Chimayo, about the Penitentes, and that is considered a Penitente community there. The Penitentes, Los Hermanos de Penitente, are probably the most fundamentalist of all Christians. They walk naked across, you know, and flagellate themselves, and walk barefoot across cactus patches, and they're pretty hardcore.
Very hardcore.
You know, I was wondering, you hit Chimayo, but just, you know, a couple towns over is Pewaukee and Española. And I didn't see anything about Old Scratch, about the devil appearing at dances there. That's right down your alley. And there's some really well-documented reports from the 90s and the 80s and some pretty interesting you know, stuff that's been written down over the years, all the way back to the 20s, actually, about the appearances of the devil at the dance. I was really, why didn't you include that? That's a real popular New Mexico kind of urban legend, if you will.
Actually, I do make a reference to that in the La Llorona chapter. I don't go into it in much
depth. Yeah, you didn't go into very much detail. There is quite a bit of research out there you can find on that subject.
No, absolutely, and I do talk about, you know, the devil appearing and the whole. There's of course lots of different variations. One is that a person shows up and there's it's an old time saloon and they're having a card game and one of the persons looks down and a beautiful young woman comes down and sits down and starts playing with him, and he looks underneath. He thinks that the beautiful young woman is playing footsie with him. He sort of smiles at her and she smiles back, and then as the game ends, he looks underneath the table and he sees a cloven hoof.
Right.
So he realizes he's playing with Satan himself, and he gathers his winnings and scurries out, never to be seen again.
Actually, Satan was really Al Pacino in disguise. I want everyone to understand that. We have Ben Radford. The book is Mysterious New Mexico, and we've got questions from listeners, and we'll start to ask them in our next segment with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number 2, A2hosting.com. Check out their Prime hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, Ben Radford is author of Mysterious New Mexico. He's not so mysterious himself. He's a pretty down-to-earth guy. And we've got Chris O'Brien, who is now going to look at all those questions our listeners have asked at forum.thepowercast.com and pick out a few choice ones.
And there are some questions here. In fact, we have a sign-up at forum.thepowercast.com who was made aware of your upcoming show here at the Paracast, and they signed up just to post a question for you.
Well, cool.
Which is neat. But first I'm going to go to one of our very, very diligent posters. He's up above the 2,000 mark now, Burnt State. He posted this at our question thread on forum.theparacast.com. He's got a number of interesting questions, but I'm going to jump down. In all your personal research, Ben, has there ever been a paranormal mystery that you could not use science to dismiss or completely explain?
Not so far. I sort of touched on this earlier. You know, the mysteries that I investigate are self-selected in that, not that I necessarily think that they're easy to solve, because many of the investigations I tackle are very difficult to solve. Chupacabra being one case, and others that are, you know, in this new book. I would say the closest thing that I can think of, I mean, there's certainly been cases, for example, in my book, Scientific Paranormal Investigation, I have a chapter on a haunted house I investigated outside of Buffalo, New York. And that was a very complex case. I won't go into the whole thing here, but basically one of the main claims was that it was a mother and a father and a young girl. I think she was about 6 or 7. And he believed that a ghost had actually attacked him. It was kicking him. And I had interviewed many people who had seen ghosts and experienced unusual things, but he was the very first person that I had ever spoken to one-to-one who told me flat out, he says, a ghost attacked me. So that was kind of an unusual thing. So, you know, he ended up, in a nutshell, he claimed that a ghost was kicking him as he slept at night, as he was going to sleep. And I ended up solving the case. It turned out to be that it was actually restless leg syndrome. He was sleeping he was a big guy. He was an auto worker. And he was sleeping alone because he had sleep apnea. And he was on his own little cot bed. And as he was going to sleep, his leg twitched. And it would wake him up, and he interpreted, because he believed there was a ghost in the house, he interpreted it as a ghost kicking him. And he was serious. This was not a joke. He was dead serious about this. And
wow.
I later, but the reason I bring this up is because there were lots of claims about that case that were strange. That was the holdout. That was the one thing I could not explain for weeks. I was like, I can't figure this out. This is bizarre, until I finally solved it. Oh, this is all fits together, and this is what that was. So, you know, so there are certainly cases where parts of a mystery are very difficult to solve, but in the end, I've been able to solve them. I think that the other real question is, you know, if someone says, well, is there anything you think can't be explained by science? And I'm generally the position that pretty much everything can be explained through science, if it's part of the natural world. Same thing with ghosts. You know, I would say that of everything in the world, I would say maybe intuition. I think maybe intuition might be the closest to some sort of unusual paranormal. And I don't mean intuition in that some sort of ESP or sixth sense, but in a more psychological realm, in which we're talking about something where we know something without knowing how we know it. We're picking up cues from the environment.
Right, or the feeling of somebody staring at you, and then you turn around and somebody is staring at you.
Right, exactly. Sort of, and then you sort of get into confirmation bias.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a bad example, but or thinking about somebody really hard, and then they call you on the phone. If it's not a coincidence, there may be something there. Well, here's another question. This really kind of gets to the heart of why people with open minds that really enjoy these paranormal subjects can get really bent out of shape at the tone sometimes that the skeptical community uses. And Burnt State wants to know if you think that skepticism can become too rabid, as seen in the absolute relish it seems to take in mocking anyone who takes the UFO phenomenon seriously, including those who wish to apply science to the problem. And he gives the example of Philip Klass persistently hounding and harassing Dr. James McDonald. And he says, such activities appear to continue to this day in the sarcastic tone that your skeptical inquirer applies to all things UFO in nature. Is this a healthy approach, and is it consistent with Truzzi's foundational principles, and is the zetetic approach to unique phenomenon? Good question.
Yeah, that is a good question. There's a little bit of a faulty premise there in that there is not a monolithic, homogenous skeptical community. There just isn't. It just as there's not one monolithic, homogenous paranormal community or UFO believer community, whatever else. There's all sorts of different people. There are people who are, you know, hardcore believers that alien abductions are happening every second of every day. Other people who think that a lot of it's, you know, BS, but there are a couple of things that are true. They stake their belief on the, you know, Betty Barney Hill's case, whatever else. And so it's a little bit of a fallacy to say that skeptics are X, because skeptics are not X. You will always have individual skeptics within any community, just as you have individual believers or, you know, take your pick, anything else. Engineers, lawyers. There are good lawyers and there are shyster lawyers. There are good doctors and there are shyster doctors. They're not all out, you know.
Well, are you being an apologist for the ones that are too rabid, or are you saying that they're out of line?
No, I'm saying that they're out of line. I'm saying that.
Okay, good.
Yeah, what I'm saying is
Phil Klass could really get out of line.
Well, I'll give an example. In one of my favorite books of all time is written by Carl Sagan, and he wrote a book called The Demon Haunted World.
Yeah.
And it's a brilliant book. And I revere Carl Sagan. I met him briefly, and he was just a wonderful, generous man. And in that book, if you read it, he actually calls out James Randi. Another one of my heroes, who, you know, he has his faults. And in Carl Sagan's book, he says, you know, Randi can be abrasive. He can be rude. I don't remember the exact quote, but he says, look, you know, this isn't helpful. So I guess the real issue is that in any community, you're going to have people who are more open-minded about it and other people who are more debunking. And so you have people like, for example, you have Penn & Teller's show called, BS. That's the name of the show. And in their show, they tackle all sorts of paranormal, you know, everything from UFO claims to the homeopathy, this, that, and the other. And their style is very different from mine. That's their thing. That's fine. Same thing with the South Park guys. They make fun of all sorts of things that I don't make fun of, because part of the way that I personally do it is I have a background in psychology, and I am very sympathetic to people who claim to have experiences. They think they saw a ghost, they think they saw a lake monster, UFO, whatever else. And my assumption is not that they're lying to me. My assumption and my experience is that most people who claim to have these experiences are sincere. They're not crazy. They're not stupid. They're not bad people. They truly had some experience they can't explain. And what I try to do as investigators is figure out what is that experience. If that experience truly is a ghost, if that experience truly is psychic powers or whatever else, that's great. Let's figure this out. Let's bring science to it. But if that experience is not actually a ghost, or it's plausibly, you know, explained by some other mundane phenomena, then we need to go with that. And I'm just basically trying to explain that yes, there certainly are skeptics who are nasty and brash and rude and don't know their stuff. And there's lots of believers that are nasty and brash and rude. And I don't.
I think there's a lot more of the latter as opposed to the former.
Let's do our break here, guys. The book is Mysterious New Mexico. Ben Radford joins us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
GCN. Proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Find out how to stop Big Brother in his tracks at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's L-E-M-K-E Soft.com. LemkeSoft.com. L-E-M-K-E Soft.com.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com. And be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
Quick reminder, if you want to get a free copy of Secrets of the Mysterious Valley by Chris O'Brien, this is all you have to do. Go to theparacast.com, theparacast.com, sign up for our weekly newsletter so we get your email address. We're not going to send you anything but a newsletter. We're not going to send you all sorts of weird offers or stuff like that. And when you do, we'll email you a copy of Secrets of the Mysterious Valley by Chris O'Brien. Maybe it takes a day or two, but we'll sure do that. You know, speaking of skeptics, there's another site that I basically run on my server, but it's managed by Kurt Collins, called jimmosley.com. It's a memorial site to the late Jim Mosley. And just this week, we got a very nice letter posted there from none other than James Randi, who was sort of a friend of Jim's for a number of years.
Oh, interesting.
So yeah. Even the abrasive Mr. Randi was not so abrasive. Now, a long time ago, back when I was doing a radio show in Vermont, I went down to New York and interviewed Randi on a couple of things, and he was pretty nice then, too. Obviously,
well,
I hear that
Randi has retaken over the presidential slot in his organization.
Oh, he has. I thought he was kind of bowing out.
His former president, who was a sitting president, is nowhere to be found. All references have been taken off about him, and there's some question to whether the foundation is undergoing some financial troubles.
Yeah, I honestly don't know anything about that. I've been at Dragon Con in Atlanta for the past 5 days, so I've been in conferences and trying to avoid getting con crud, which is a sort of a nerd cold that you get from being around 60,000 people like that, and then in airports and stuff. So I honestly don't know anything about that. I came in late last night off the plane, so I'm
well. Cool. We're really happy that you were able to join us. And I have a question here from one of our longtime posters. He's just gone over the 5,000 postmark. It's Ufology, Randall up in Calgary, Alberta.
He posted. By the way, we do not give gold watches for posting 5,000 messages. Uh-oh. I think we give them a rest cure.
Yeah. Well, and his posts are real posts. They're not one line or one word posts. He really does post. And he did post a question for you, Ben.
Yeah.
And that is, there seems to be certain factions on both sides of the ufology issue who suggest that building bridges between skeptics and ufologists is a bit of a pipe dream. Do you feel that the gap between ufology and skepticism is so great that the two will forever remain mutually exclusive? Or do you think there is a way to build bridges? And if so, where do we start? And he invites you to join in further conversations on this vein at forum.theparacast.com. He's saying, come on aboard and let's talk about it. So what do you think?
Bridge building? I mean, I think that, you know, I don't see anything wrong with that. I mean, this is, you know, as far as I'm, and I'll just, you know, I've been doing this for 15, 16 years now, whatever it is. And this is one of the points that I try to make when I talk to, because, you know, I'll give you an example. A couple years back, I was talking at a Bigfoot conference in Pocatello, Idaho. I was there with Jeff Meldrum and a couple others, and I was the token skeptic. And, you know, that's fine, whatever. Most people there believed in Bigfoot or had experiences. I was the guy who was saying, look, you know, I think there's reasons to doubt Bigfoot. I'm addressing the audience of probably, you know, 200-300 people. And I said, look, you know, I'm not the enemy here. You know, yes, I'm trying to bring a skeptical point of view to this, but I said, I'm not making fun of you. There's lots of people out there in the real world, you know, walking down the streets who think you guys are crazy. I said, I will take you seriously. I will look at your evidence. You have Bigfoot photos. You have Bigfoot evidence. I will look at it with an open mind. And I said, you know, you need to understand that building bridges to skepticism and to open-minded skeptics is for everyone's benefit. And so when I talk to Bigfoot believers, you know, when I talk to the Bigfoot community and the Ghost Hunter community, and I write books like Scientific Paranormal Investigation from a couple years ago, my goal is to bring good science and good critical thinking and skepticism to the investigation. It's not to quash and debunk it. It's not to sort of say all this is too silly. No, it's exactly the opposite. It's saying these are fascinating subjects. Crystal skulls, UFOs, crop circles, you know, ghosts. So all these things are really cool and interesting. You, whatever, if you're going to reach for scientific credibility, then you have to use good science. You have to, and this is the sort of thing that that I try to do with my work, is not just sort of debunk and dismiss and, you know, be rude to people. Touching back on the previous question, but, you know, among many skeptics and even many believers, I'm known as a pretty open-minded guy. I mean, there are more abrasive skeptics. I'm the guy who's like, yeah, I'll look at this. Let's work this out. And so, you know, I would hope that in the future there could be many more bridges between the skeptics and the believers. My concern is that a lot of times we're using different standards of evidence. You know, I've had people who will say to me, you know what, I saw a UFO and you can't talk me out of it. Where do I go with that? I'm not trying to talk you out of it. I'm just trying to understand what you saw. But if someone is going to come to me with that position, that they know for a fact what they saw, and it was a UFO, and then who's being hostile here? I'm not being hostile. I'm just saying, you know, give me evidence. And there, so we're operating on different standards of evidence. So I think one of the important platforms that you could use to build that bridge is trying to come to some consensus about what constitutes good evidence.
Yeah, exactly. You got to have that established before you can even begin to have a dialogue.
Exactly.
Especially with a scientist. You know, there's a lot of ignorance in the true believer crowd out there. There's a lot of misperceptions, a lot of lazy intellectual or lazy lack of intellectual rigor. People like to get their facts from, History Channel or HDU or some of these really bizarre shows that are on. But, you know, you mentioned you spoke at a Bigfoot conference. We have a couple of questions here that wonder where you come down. Vesby High Folk has been a poster at forum.theparacast.com since 2010. He's up at the 1500 mark. And he wonders, is there any evidence for the existence of Bigfoot? And he says, with most chupas being found to be dogs of mange, Can we write off the Chupa as being a real creature? Let's look at Bigfoot first. The Chupa question is pretty obvious if you've read Ben's book. But what about Bigfoot? Do you think there's any evidence that's out there besides anecdotal?
Yeah, I mean, and I've written about this before, and you know, my position is not that Bigfoot cannot exist. I've had people say, oh, you know, I saw you on TV. You said Bigfoot does not exist. And I was like, no, I have never said Bigfoot does not exist. You are incorrect. So I've seen them go, oh, you said ghosts don't. No, I've never said ghosts don't exist. That's not a scientific position. All you can say is that the evidence offered so far, in my experience and my research, is either that the evidence supports the position that Bigfoot is likely out there or not. And in my experience and my research, which has been going on for quite a while now, I don't see compelling scientific evidence that a group of Bigfoot – remember, we're not just talking about one creature. Same with Loch Ness Monster.
You have to have a breeding population.
So we're talking, by some estimates, 6,000 to 10,000 Bigfoot in North America alone. 6,000 to 10,000 of them. And the fact is that at some point, you know, they should be hit by a car. They should die of natural causes. A hiker should find one. It's just, it is so implausible that these populations of Bigfoot are out there, particularly in North America, and simply not being found. And I would say probably even actually earlier this year, and I don't know, guys, you guys may have mentioned it in the previous show, but there was some very strong evidence about the existence of Bigfoot done by Brian Sykes. He's an Oxford geneticist. And he did a study that came out, I think, about a month and a half ago.
Yeah, it's pretty recent.
Yeah, very recent. And he did a very good DNA testing, genetics testing of alleged Bigfoot and Yeti hairs throughout the world. And every single one of them came down to a known animal. Some were elk, some were deer.
Well, wait a minute. He found the hair. One was the hair of what he thought was an extinct form of polar bear that hasn't been seen in the Himalayas for thousands of years, yet that's what the genetic sample results were of a extinct polar bear.
Well, and he identified it. This is the important part, is that it was identified as a polar bear.
Yeah.
But that's my point, is that not a single one of these hundreds of samples turned out to be. And by the way, that was also in Nepal, if I'm not mistaken, the Himalayas. So this was not actually Bigfoot. The Bigfoot is specifically in North America. That would be a Yeti or an Honesty. But my point is that you have pretty much ironclad genetics data that shows that case after case after case after case of what is believed or claimed to be Bigfoot hair turns out to be not.
Yeah. You know what? We're going to have a hairy time here. I'm sorry about that. This is the episode of puns.
Ugh.
Oh, that's terrible. Mysterious New Mexico, no puns. Ben Radford joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Summertime is saved big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know summer is the time to stock up at HerbalHealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for summer specials, including all sizes of colloidal silver, colloidal minerals, and intestinal freedom on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, and Metabolic Complex and Pro-Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Wormwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for summer.
at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and look for summer specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy.
September is National Preparedness Month, so make it a September to remember by getting your emergency food supply from the Freeze Dry Guy. On sale this month, our 2014 Stew Butter and Potatoes unit. You'll get one number 10 can each of high-quality Mountain House chicken stew, vegetable stew with beef, pilot crackers, plus the highest quality dehydrated ABC stew. Butter and potatoes for a total of 160 one-half cup servings. Retail value $161.41, but not this month. The Freeze Dry Guy offers the 2014 Stew Butter and Potatoes unit for only $123.93. Save over $37. Plenty of protein, veggies, carbs for energy, and tasty, hearty, storable food with a shelf life of over 25 years. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry! The National Preparedness Month sale ends September 30th from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com, click the blue microphone in the top right corner, and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I promise you, no longer will I utter a single pun. There will be no puns.
We accept triple and quadruple entendres.
Very good.
But not puns.
If we can even say it. Chris, we have more questions in the till?
Yeah, while we're on the cryptic crypto topic. This one comes from Oakenwolf, who's been a poster for about a year at forum.theparacast.com, where you too can ask questions of our wonderful guests. Today is Ben Radford in his book, Mysterious New Mexico, or it should say Demystifying the Land of Enchantment, I think. But while on this cryptic topic, Oakenwolf wants to know what you think about the Skinwalker Ranch and the creatures slash entities known to be residing there. I would quibble with that comment.
As would I.
He puts in the little caveat, could a chupa be residing there? I don't think so, Oakenwolf. But what do you think of this Skinwalker Ranch case? How familiar are you with the Kelleher Knapp book, for instance, or the NIDS work up there, the involvement of Chuck Fillet and John Alexander, and Hal Putoff actually was on the board of NIDS. Some pretty high-powered names there. What do you think of that case?
I'll be totally honest. I don't know that much about it. I've certainly seen references to it. I think I have a file on it, but I don't know that much about it. It's not one of the dozens and dozens of dozens of mysteries that I've actually investigated and solved. Yeah. So
it's the only one that's had a team of really crack scientists studying up close and personal the paranormal. I'm surprised you haven't looked into it. It's a really very, very intriguing scenario up there.
Oh, I'm sure it is. The problem that I have is that in addition to writing the books and the researches, I've got a day job. I'm do editing and that sort of thing and
right.
Freelance writing. And so I, as you know, Chris, you know, there's only so many hours in the day. There's only so many mysteries.
No.
I was, oh, well, why haven't you looked into this one case? Well, because I'm one person. I have to sleep.
No.
But you're
what
right.
Do you
it
mean
is,
you have to sleep? Just a minute here.
Hold on.
What do you mean you have to sleep?
I would like to look into that, and when I do, I'll definitely call Chris, and we'll talk about it.
Of course, you don't have to worry about waking up Chris. He never sleeps.
Yeah, jeez. Oh, okay. I had 3 hours of sleep last night. That's why I'm a little kind of raspy this morning. If I'm coming on too raspy, you let me know, Ben.
Okay.
People say I'm not raspy enough, so maybe they're going to – we do invite
Do you get requests for more raspiness? I find that odd.
Yeah, I do. people think I roll over and guests tickle my stomach or something. You know, we're supposed to be the 60 minutes of the paranormal here. We you know, extraordinary claims require at least some evidence.
Right. Right. And sleep.
Forget the extraordinary evidence. You know, sorry, Carl. No, we do require that people at least pony up something for us, unless they're just collecting stories and they're folklorists and that sort of thing. And I've actually gotten in trouble for asking too probing of a question of a folklorist. So, you know, it runs both ways. We don't want to scare potential guests away, but we do want to ask tough questions, and that's why we are as popular as we are. I can say that, Gene. Are we popular?
Oh, we're popular.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, we don't have much time left. Out of the remaining topics in the book, we've got the mysterious staircase and on the Plaza of Santa Fe, the church there. We've got several other things, the Ojo Caliente Mineral Hot Springs and some of the things around that. Where do you want to go right now with some of the information in the book that we haven't addressed yet?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess I'll just, you know, it might be good just to sort of give an overview just on some of the things. That there's a famous haunted theater here in Albuquerque, not too far from where I am. It's called the Chemo Theater. And it's the most famous haunted theater in New Mexico, if not the Southwest. And there's a whole fascinating story about a young boy named Bobby Darnall who was killed. And he actually was killed. I mean, that's part of the historical record. In 1952, people claim to this day that his ghost haunts the theater, and people who give productions there and plays there will leave donuts as sort of an appeasement for the ghost. And it was a really interesting story just for me personally, because it was so well known throughout Albuquerque, but nobody had actually solved the case until myself and a co-investigator named Mike Smith had done research on that. And so we ended up solving the case. It was a fascinating sort of collection of ghost stories and folklore and misinformation from ghost hunters and this and that. So that was a really fun story, and that was actually appeared as in 14 Times Magazine, if I'm not mistaken. So we got
nice.
the Chimayo, the Santa Fe Courthouse Ghost. Some of you may know that case I investigated. It was actually on CNN. There's a Wikipedia page. I didn't make it, but there's a Wikipedia page on the Santa Fe Courthouse Ghost, and explains there was this mysterious ghostly figure in this surveillance camera in Santa Fe about 8-9 years ago now. And I went and investigated it and solved that mystery. There's Loretto Chapel's Miraculous Staircase. It's a double spiral staircase that, according to some people, engineers and scientists say should not exist. It cannot exist. It's a structural impossibility. And there's a whole lore behind that about how.
Hey, you know, I got a little inside dope on this.
Oh, yeah?
A friend of mine, his neighbor moved into, bought the property next door, and he was cleaning out an outbuilding, and he opened up a trunk and found the actual architectural designs for that staircase. Shh, don't tell anybody.
No way, really?
Yeah, really.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
I got to find out more about that.
Yeah, my dad was a who's who architect, and he went down there, and he was scratching his head. He said, man, whoever did this, they are very talented.
Oh, absolutely, and your dad was exactly right. It's just the question is, was it St. Joseph or was it someone else?
And, no, just some dude that showed up and said, "Hey, I'll build you a staircase."
Don't ruin the mystery. So we got the miraculous staircase. We have I have a section on for cryptozoologists. I have a section on thunderbirds. The giant,
right.
Perhaps dinosaur-like pterodactyl dinosaurs in the sky. A investigation I did into a haunted bar north of Las Cruces, New Mexico. Ojo Caliente's Healing Waters, labyrinths. I have a whole chapter on some of the miraculous stories about healing labyrinths.
Right.
La Llorona, Santa Fe's haunted La Posada Hotel, which is one of the more famous haunted places in Santa Fe. And chapter 12 is sort of an outlier. It's a true case of a serial killer. I had previously written about a serial killer for my book, Scientific Paranormal Investigation, but there was it actually made international news. It was about five years ago. There was basically a boneyard that was found, and there was a serial killer at work here, not too far from where I live, actually. And it's kind of an unsolved story, but I have some of the investigations behind it. So I'm pretty happy with the collection of stuff. It's got folklore, it's got ghosts, it's got it's got some UFO stuff, it's got miracles, healings. It's sort of a nice collection, I think, of overview of high strange weirdness in New Mexico, and there's much more. I could easily fill another two books, and maybe someday I will.
How long does it take you to write a book of this nature?
Well, that's a good question. In this particular case, a few of the chapters are sort of expanded chapters of things that I had done previously. And so, for example, I had previously written a little bit about the Santa Fe Courthouse ghost and about the chemo theater. And so those chapters, they weren't pre-written, but the bulk of it was already there. Overall, this book was actually finished about 2 years ago. It sort of sat on the shelf. It was being peer-reviewed through UNM Press because it's an academic press. And so they wanted it to be, very scholarly and have the facts right, which is not something, as happens to all books.
Oh, yeah, in fact, a lot of books that purportedly are mainstream books don't get fact-checked anymore. The book is called Mysterious New Mexico. Benjamin Radford is the author. Ben, is there a place we can find you online if we need to get in touch with you?
Well, I'm around and about. You can find me on Twitter at BT Radford. I am on Facebook at Ben Radford. You can find some of my work at BenjaminRadford.com, and I also write for Discovery News every now and then. So I'm around and about.
Chris O'Brien's around and about at OurStrangePlanet.com, OurStrangePlanet.com. If you buy one of his books there, if you get a print edition of Stalking the Herd, for example, he'll sign and number it. We're also giving away free copies of Secrets of the Mysterious Valley by Chris O'Brien. Just go to theparacast.com, theparacast.com. There's a big sign-up form for our newsletter there. You sign up, and a day or two, we'll email you a copy of his book. How's that go? Of course, check out our forums at forum.theparacast.com, forum.theparacast.com. Ben Radford, thank you for joining us on The Paracast.
Thanks for having me on. Always good to talk to you guys.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
UnseenNow.com, proud sponsor of GCN. UnseenNow's unparalleled encryption tools keep your communications secure. GCN.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, sickness and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.